But we've been talking over the last couple of weeks. We've been learning about faith. And we've been learning about faith. We've been looking specifically at Hebrews chapter 11. But we've really been seeing the truth of Hebrews chapter 11 as it's been exemplified through the Shunammite woman from 2 Kings chapter 4. That's where we've been at. Now, for those of you that may not have been here, so we're all on the same page, let me give you just an overview of the story. Again, we're going to be looking an awful lot at 2 Kings chapter 4. But here's the story. We all know, but let me just give you my paraphrase, the Reader's Digest version of the story. So we have the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman is the example of a person who is demonstrating their faith to God. She demonstrates her faith by her faithfulness to the man of God, who is Elijah. Anytime that Elijah comes through the town of Shunan, she always has food. She compels him to stop and eat. And because of her heart and her heart to serve the Lord, she has her husband actually build in their house a room for the man of God. So he's got a bed, he's got a table, he's got a lamp. He's got a place that when he comes, he's got a place that he can be. She's taking care of the man of God. And so the man of God wants to do something back for her. And so the man of God asks his servant, Gehazi, he says, "What does the woman need?" And she says, she has no son. So the man of God says to the Shunammite woman, "When I come next season, you will hold a son in your arms." And so it comes to pass that she has a son. And as the story goes on, the son grows. And one day the son is out in the fields with his father, and he has a pain in his head. So the father sends him back to the mother. And there in his mother's arms, the son dies. There in the mother's arms. But this is a woman of faith. And this is a woman who lives her faith. So the woman of God lays the gift that she was given, the promise of her son, she lays it on the bed of the man of God, and she closes the door. She shuts the door on the problem. And she moves forward in faith. And she goes from Shunan all the way to the man of God at Mount Carmel, which is 20 miles away. Not an easy thing back in those times. And there it says that as she's on the way, the man of God sees her a long way off. And he sends his servant Gehazi. And Gehazi says, "Is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with your son?" And her response is amazing words of faith. As she sees beyond the problems, she sees with faith vision beyond the problem to the promises that are hers. And her response is, "It is well." And then she gets to the man of God, and she falls at the feet of the man of God, and she clings to his feet. And Gehazi, who we saw last week, represents the world. Gehazi tries to push her away, but the man of God says, "Leave her alone. I can't tell what's going on, but she's deeply distressed." And then she shares with him the story. And so the man of God sends his servant Gehazi with his staff, his authority, sends Gehazi back to the son to put the staff on the son to raise him back up. This doesn't work. But the whole time, the Shunammite woman never left the man of God. And so eventually we see that he goes with her, and at the end of the story, which we'll get to next week, at the end of the story, he does lay himself on her, and he raises that dead son back up to life and gives that gift, that promise of God, gives that gift back to the Shunammite woman. So that's the story. Now, where we left off last week was in verse number 27. In verse number 27, we had just seen as the Shunammite woman was clinging to the feet of the man of God. In the same way, you and I are supposed to cling to the promises, cling to the word of God, no matter what we see, no matter the circumstances, we cling to the word of God. That's where we left off. So let's pick it up at verse number 28. Verse number 28 says, "So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?'" Now you read those words, and on the surface, it sounds like that's a lack of faith. But it's not. Remember, this woman's faith has driven her all the way from Shunan, 20 miles, to Mount Carmel. And her faith has driven her with the belief that her son is going to be restored back to life by the power of God, as demonstrated through the man of God, Elijah. What she's doing, she is setting forth the rules. She is laying out the rules, and that's going to be important as we come. How many of you guys have ever taken a personality test? Okay, almost everybody. Every personality test that I've ever seen has four personality types. Now, they use different terms, but they all come down to the same four personality types. Now, Donna used to give a personality test when we were doing marriage seminars. She gave a personality test that used animals to describe the characteristics of the individual personalities, the four different personalities. So there's four animals that they used. And the animals actually represented the characteristics of the four different personality types. So the four types that she used. So the four types of the personalities were the lion, the golden retriever, the otter, and the beaver. Anybody ever take that test? Okay, I know you guys did. Okay, so those are the four characteristics. Now the lion. The lion is the type A personality. The lion is the person that is driven. The lion is the person that knows what the best course of action is, and everybody's going to be happier, and everyone's going to get along as soon as everybody else agrees and sees and follows that this is the best course of action to take. The lion is pretty certain of themselves. Now, I live with the lion. Let me tell you something. Here's the irritating thing about it. Now listen. Wait. No, there's a compliment coming. Wait a second. Yeah. After this, you better think fast. No, here's the thing. The lions, the irritating thing is the lions are almost always right. So they think they're right, and they almost always see a lot of hands going up there from the lions. All right, so that's the lions. Then you have the golden retrievers. The golden retrievers, they're the ones that stay in the background. It's like a golden retriever. They're very loyal. Golden retrievers always want to form a consensus. They want everyone to come together. Then you have the otters. Now, usually here in the front row, there's a little screen, and usually Tanner and Julie are there with us from Indiana. They're not here today. And that's too bad, because Julie and I are both card-carrying members of the Brotherhood and Sisterhood of the Otter. We are otters to the nth degree. There's almost nothing else in our lives. So I know the otter. The otter is the personality that is always playing, is always having fun. This is very irritating to the lion, by the way, just so you know. So while the lion's busy working, even though the otter, we think we're working. But we can make a game out of almost anything. So that's the otter personality. Now the final personality is the beaver personality. Now again, I know this personality really well, because there's a young woman that Donna and I know and we've invested a lot in, and she is the living personification of the beaver personality. When you take these tests, if you've taken them, you'll find out that usually you have one dominant trait. Maybe you have another one that's kind of up there too, but you usually have a little bit of all four. This girl has nothing else. She is like entirely beaver. Nothing else comes across. So I know, don't look around, because she's not in this church. She's never come to this church, so she's not one of you. But I understand the beaver personality. This is the beaver's personality. The beaver's personality always goes by the rules. The beaver personality will not deviate from the rules, will not turn from the rules, even if circumstances dictate the wisdom in doing it. The beaver personality will always go by the rules. And here's the other thing. The beaver personality expects you to play steadfastly by the same set of rules, even though a lot of times it's their perceived rules. They are rules obeyers. They play by the rules, and they expect you to as well. The Shunammite woman is a beaver personality. She is living her life by the rules, and she's making sure, she is enforcing the rules with the man of God by the demands that she's making on him here. So the beaver personality plays by the rules. And we're going to look at the rules that she perceives and that she's enforcing in just a couple of minutes. But there's two key words that are spoken by the Shunammite woman. Two key words that come out of her mouth. Ask and deceive. Now the first word, ask. She said, "Did I ask for a son?" The second word is deceive. Do not deceive me. The two key words, which emphasize the two key phrases of that verse that we're looking at. So these are the two things. Now, it's helpful for us to understand the meaning of these words as we look at them in the original Hebrew. So let's look at the first word, ask. In the Hebrew, ask means to beg or to borrow or to make a demand. So what the Shunammite woman is saying here to the man of God, she's saying, I did not beg you for a son. I did not beg you for that gift. I made no demand for it. You gave it to me as a gift. And since it was a gift that you gave to me, here's my rules. Since it's a gift that you gave to me, the responsibility to restore that gift to life falls to you. It's your responsibility. This is the beaver setting forth the rules that everybody has to play by. Now here's the second word, deceive. In the Hebrew, deceive means to mislead. Now it doesn't mean to mislead in a nefarious way. It's not a deliberate intention to mislead. It just means that it's kind of as it happens. It's more a sin of negligence. It's more a sin of carelessness than anything else. It's not a deliberate action to deceive. So what the Shunammite woman is saying here when she says this, she's saying, I've been led astray by the promise of the man of God when I received the son. I was led astray by the promise of the man of God when I received the son. So these are the words, the two key words that I want us to remember as we keep going forward. Because these are the rules that she's playing by. These are the rules that she is enforcing and expecting the man of God to live by as well. When you look at this verse specifically means this. It doesn't matter. Even though it was unintentional, she was misled. And the results are the same. And because she is one who plays by the rules, she's going to hold the man of God accountable. She's going to make him accountable to live up to those rules. She's going to make sure that he abides by those rules. She's going to enforce those rules. Now, you and I, because we're New Covenant believers, we have an advantage over the Shunammite woman. We have the authority of Jesus' name at our disposal. We have an advantage over her because we have that authority. We have the authority of Jesus' name. We have the power of the Word of God within us. These are the things that we have that she didn't have available to her. These are the things that we have that we have to take advantage of. So when Satan comes into our lives and he tries to mislead and he tries to deceive, and he tries to break the rules of God, when he tries to impede or to steal your word, your promises from Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, you have the authority of Jesus' name. You have the power of the Word of God as you act in that authority. This is the difference that you and I have. This is the advantage that we have. So when it comes to enforcing the rules of the Word of God, think of it this way. You have the authority of the rule of the word. But it's up to us to use that authority. You can demand what is yours in Jesus Christ. So when it comes time for us to enforce the rule of the word of God, when it comes time for us to enforce that against the one who is trying to steal your gift, the one who's trying to take away the promises that are yours in the word of God through Jesus Christ, you and I need to develop the beaver portion of our personality. We need to know the rules. We need to know the Word of God and the promises of the Word of God. And in faith, we need to act upon that authority that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. If you forget everything else, that's a good point to remember as we go forward. Now, there's another great spiritual truth that we learn from the example of the Shunammite woman. God gives us endless gifts through Jesus Christ. Endless gifts. But here's the thing. When you receive a gift from Jesus Christ, let's just say, for example, healing. When you receive a gift from Jesus Christ, Satan is going to come and he is going to try to steal from you the gift that is yours in Jesus Christ. You and I have to act in faith. You and I have to know the promises. We have to know the rules. We have to know the word so we can enforce the word. We have to cling to that word steadfastly and hold on to it. And we have to take faith action. And we take faith action, we've seen this for the last couple of weeks, by speaking words of faith. This is the responsibility that we have. If we don't have the faith of the Shunammite woman, here's what's going to happen. We will simply yield the gifts that are yours through Jesus Christ. We will just simply yield them unless we know and understand the gifts that we have, the promises that we have, the rule of the Word of God that is ours. We'll just yield them to the enemy of our souls. And that's what we wind up doing an awful lot. Know the Word and know the promises that are yours. Know the authority that is ours. When you're faced with issues in life, when you're faced with issues that require the supernatural, when you're faced with issues in your life that are contrary to the promises of God, that are contrary to the Word of God, when you're faced with those issues, the pressure is not on you to make those things right. The pressure is not on you. It's not like there's 7 steps to deliverance that you must follow. And if you deviate from those 7 steps or you fail in one of those steps, that somehow you then lose the prize of deliverance. Here's the only rule that you need to live by. Trust and believe. And that's demonstrated through our faith in our words and in our actions. The only rule you need to live by is trust and believe. Put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Let Him be the one that brings us to that place of deliverance. The Shunammite woman knew and understood the rules of gifts and gift giving. She understood those rules. And she's making sure that Elijah understands those rules as well. She's saying, the son that I have, it was a gift. I did not ask for the son. It was a gift that was given. And so the responsibility for the gift to be restored is not my responsibility, but it's the responsibility of the one who gave the gift. She did not have to do everything right to get the gift restored. We sometimes put all the pressure on ourselves that I have to do everything just perfect. She didn't have to do everything right. All she had to do was trust in the one who gave her the gift. Then she acted in faith, and that action was going to the man of God and laying the problem at the man of God. You don't have to do everything right in life to receive the gifts. The pressure's not on you. All you have to do is trust in the one who gave you the gift. Then in faith, put it back on Him. Let God take care of it. He's well able to handle it. Take the pressure off of yourself today. What are the promises that you have in your life? You are a burden that you're weighted down with today. What are the stresses that you have that are just weighing you down and you're thinking, have I done everything right? Maybe I did this wrong. Did I miss this step? Take the pressure off. All you have to do is trust the one who gave the gift. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? All right, let's look at verse number 29. We're getting there verse by verse. Aren't you glad this was a long story with a lot of verses in it? Verse number 29. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready. Focus on that. We're going to come back to that in a second. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. First of all, let's look at all the symbolism that is here to make sure we understand all the symbolism. Remember last week we determined that Gehazi is the servant. And Gehazi represents the world. Now we also saw last week that in this story, there's 2 servants. I don't have time to go back and show you all that again. You have to take my word for it. If you want to, go back and listen to the message from last week. But there's 2 servants in the story. We're either making faith our servant, or if we're not operating, if we're not living in faith, then we are then becoming the servant of the world. So here's Gehazi, And remember, the staff of God, or the staff of Elijah, represents the authority and the power of God. The authority and the power of God here is being given to Gehazi, the world. What is that saying to us? Don't put your trust in the world. Don't put your trust in the things of the world. Don't put your trust in the things of the world, even when men and women of the world are well-intentioned. Gehazi meant well. But the fact of the matter is, Gehazi had in his hand, he was holding the symbol of power of God. But he did not believe in the power of God that it represented. Gehazi was not a man of faith, nor did he believe. You and I, we have to operate in faith. We have to have our assurance. We have to have our peace. We have to have the knowing of the Word of God, knowing the truth and the power of the Word of God. We have to cling to the Word of God. Now, if you look here at the very beginning, I said, remember this. The very first thing that he says to Gehazi is, get yourself ready. Listen, when we're dealing with faith, this is good instruction that the man of God gave to Gehazi, but it's really good instruction for you and I today. How many times are we doing all that we can? Are we making faith, our faith, ready to serve us? This is what he said. Get yourself ready. Are we making our faith ready to serve us? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves all the time. Because it says in Romans chapter 10, I think we looked at this last week, the week before, but in Romans chapter 10, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. Are we making ourselves ready in faith? Are we making our faith ready to serve us by making sure that we are spending our time in the word of God? The man of God is saying, get yourself ready. We need to get our faith ready. It's up to us. We have that part that we have to play. Faith, well, we put all of our faith and all of our trust in God, and he will take care of it. But we have to make sure that we're developing that faith, and it comes from the time that we take. We take ourselves personally, the time that we spent with him in the Word of God. Make sure that you are continuing to be in the Word of God. Now, here's the other truth, or here's the other thing, the other instructions that we see that the man of God gives to Gehazi. He tells him to go on his way, to talk to no one as he's on his way. What he's telling him is, you go and do not let your attention in any way be taken away from the instructions. Focus your attention on the instructions that I gave you. Listen, as you're operating in faith, there will be 1,001 things that will rise up as shiny objects to take your attention away from the Word of God. If you're an otter, those shiny objects are awfully tempting to look at. There's many things that will rise up and try to take your attention off of the Word of God. Make sure that you are clinging to, just like the Shunammite woman, make sure that you are clinging to the Word of God. Don't let go of the Word of God. Hold on to that. And this can't be something that just happens. Holding on to the Word, it doesn't just happen. You can't wait until all of a sudden you're in that time when you have to operate in faith and then try to make sure that you're focused on the Word and your attention doesn't deviate. You've got to make that determination now. You have to prepare yourself now. That comes from what he said before. Get yourself ready. You have to make yourself ready now. It's the time that you spend in the Word. It's the time that you spend getting your faith built up and encouraged. When you do that, then when you're in that moment when your faith has to be in operation, that's when, because you've already made the decision. Those shiny objects, all those things that come to distract you, will not distract you. You'll be focused and straightforward, moving forward in faith in all things in Jesus Christ. So Gehazi did the right thing. Gehazi followed the instructions, but he did not get the intended results. Because I've already told you how the story works out. So we know, and we'll see this next week, that when he goes and he lays the staff on the sun doesn't rise up. The sun's not raised from the dead. What happened? I mean, he has the staff of God. He has the power and the authority of God. That staff represents for us the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. It represents the power that we have in Jesus Christ. What happened? Does it only work? Will this only work for the man of God? No. It is the authority, it's the power of the Word of God, and it's the authority of Jesus that is in us today as we believe. Y'all look surprised by that. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't, it's not just operating in the man of God. Here's the problem. If we say, we look at that verse, and if we say that the staff would only work because it was Elijah's staff, the staff would only work through the man of God, through Elijah. Here's the problem. If we believe that or we say that, we put ourselves in the very awkward position that we wind up putting ourselves in as the body of Christ in our culture today, where we say to ourselves, deliverance must come from the man of God. Now, stay with me, okay? This is really important. If you're starting to drift off, if you're starting to think about other things, gather your attention because you have to understand this. Do not misunderstand me. I don't want you walking out of here and saying that Todd said we don't have to pray together. That's not what I'm saying at all. Thank you, Jesus, for the men and women in my life that I can ask to stand with me in prayer. I thank Jesus for those people all the time, and so should you. I want to pray for you every Sunday after service. When I say, you've got prayers, come forward, I mean that. I want to pray with you. But here's the thing that I need you to understand. The power is not in the man of, the power is not the man of God. It is the power of Jesus Christ in and through the man or the woman of God. The power is not the person. It's Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ through that individual. But here's the thing that I really want you to see. While that's true for the man or woman of God, that's true for you and I as well. The power of Jesus Christ moves through you. It moves through me. It's biblical. We need to. It's biblical for us to pray together. Am I making this point strong enough? I don't want you to misunderstand. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, it says that when two or more are gathered in his name, he is there also. We need to agree together. I want to pray with you. We're on the same page? We got all that? But here's the thing. The person who is receiving the prayer also has a role to play. Because the person who is receiving the prayer, they have to believe. They have to receive. And here's the key. Their words have to line up and match the word of God just as much. If I ask Colleen to pray for me, I know if Colleen prays, I know she believes in faith. So if I ask Colleen to pray and I say, you know, my knees are fine. But if I say to Colleen, my knees are giving me trouble, pray for my knees, and Colleen prays. If I turn around and I walk out with Donna and I say, well, Donna, let's get home pretty quick so I can get some aspirin, because usually about noon, that's when my knees start to hurt. My words are not matching up with what she just said. I have a part to play. This is why it's important what Gehazi does and what he didn't do. The person who is receiving prayer has a part to play as well. They have to believe, they have to receive. Their words have to line up and match up with the word of God. We've got a part to play. When you're on that receiving end, you have a part to play. This is why it didn't work for Gehazi. Because Gehazi was not a man of faith. When you read all the references in the Bible, all the many references that talk about Gehazi, his heart is exposed again and again. He's not a man of faith. He doesn't believe. He represents the world. He believes the world. Because he believes the world, the promises of the word are powerless through him. That's the important lesson that we need to learn from Gehazi. Because when we're on the receiving end of prayer, when we are being prayed for, we have a part to play. We have to believe and receive. And our words have to match up to the words that he... I remember a story, and I'm just taking this off the top of my head, so if you know the story and I embellish it a little bit, I'm sorry. I'm going from memory. But Andrew Womack tells a story about there was a couple, and I forget if it was the husband or the wife, but they had something like a gallbladder or some like emergency situation that was coming up in their lives. So they called Andrew and they said, can we come over so you can pray for us? They came over, Andrew prayed for them, and they left. Well, it turns out later, this couple was angry at Andrew and bad-mouthing Andrew because his prayer didn't work, and he was in the hospital with whatever had happened. Well, Andrew found out later that before the couple called Andrew and said, can we come over and have you pray, before that phone call, they called the hospital. They said, we've got this sickness. We're on our way to the hospital. Be ready for us. On their way to the hospital, they stopped off with the man of God to pray. As soon as he was done praying, they got in their car and went to the hospital. There's no faith there at all. Their words are not matching or lining up with the Word of God. They had a part to play. You and I have a part to play in all the things. When somebody prays for you, and thank you, Jesus, for the people that pray and invest in your life. Thank you, Jesus, for them. But we need to learn from Gehazi. We've got a part to play. On the receiving end, we've got to make sure that we are believing, we're receiving, and our words match up with his word. Verse number 30. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. The Shunammite woman would not leave the man of God. Now, think about this. Because the inclination of the mother's heart is going to be, here is Gehazi. Now, he's the world, but here's Gehazi. Gehazi is on his way to her son with the staff of deliverance. The inclination of the mother's heart is to run with Gehazi and go to the son with the staff of authority and the staff of power. But that's not what she does. She stays with the man of God. Now, again, I'm going backwards. But if you remember, we've talked about the power of the action of speaking. The power of the action. Faith has to be accompanied by action. One of the actions that we can apply to our faith is speaking. We also learned, and this is important, we also learned that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So when you speak words of life, in other words, when you speak words that line up with the Word of God, you empower Jesus himself to move through those very words to bring about the life, to bring about the deliverance, to bring about the promise that is already established in the spiritual realm, and to bring it and make it a reality in your natural realm. Now, conversely, if you speak words of death or words that are in opposition, that do not agree with the Word of God, you are empowering the enemy of your soul. You're empowering Satan to move through your very words to bring those things that you spoke into your life. What you speak does matter. Speaking words of life is faith action. And what we see with the Shunammite woman, she is making sure that she is staying on the word and she is speaking the word of God. She is staying with the word. She's clinging to all the promises. She is holding steadfastly onto the feet of the man of God. Clinging to the word. Clinging to him. But there's something else that's happening here. As she's clinging to the word of God, she's clinging to the man of God, and as Gehazi is off on his own, something else is happening here. When I read this verse on Tuesday, I was reading it and I thought, that sounds familiar. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. You know what? Those words sounded familiar to Elijah as well. Because these are his very words. These are the exact words that Elijah spoke when he was speaking, when he was with his mentor, when he was with his master, his mentor, Elijah, when he was with him, as he was waiting for that double portion blessing of the Spirit of God to fall upon him, these are the words that Elijah spoke. These are the exact words that he spoke. So, let me give you a frame of reference for that. Are y'all still with me? Okay, so on the very day, not to get confused, we're talking about Elijah. Everything in this story is Elijah. I'm going to be talking about Elijah also. So in the story of Elijah, on the very day that Elijah was taken up into the heavens, when he was in that whirlwind of the chariots and the horses of fire, on that very day, Elijah was going to all the places where there was a school of the prophets. And every time he went to one of those places on that very day to the school of the prophets, he would say to Elijah, so this is the master Elijah saying to his mentoree Elijah, he would say to him, stay here while I go where the Lord is leading. Every time Elijah, the very man who right now in the story that we're looking at has the woman of God clinging to his legs, every time that Elijah, the master, said that to Elijah, Elijah's response was the same thing. He says, let me see where it's at. He says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. But it also says, every time, there's three times that Elijah, the master, said this to Elijah, the servant. Every time that Elijah said, you wait here, I'm going to go where the Lord is leading. Every time Elijah said this, and it says, it follows up and it says, they went. It says they went to Bethel. And then the second time it says they went to Jericho. And then it says that they went to Jordan. And at the Jordan River, that's where Elijah was taken up in that fiery whirlwind of heaven. So the exact words that Elijah spoke are right now by the Shunammite woman are being spoken to him. But when he spoke those words, now listen to this. When he spoke those words, he was seeking in faith that double portion blessing of the Spirit of God upon him. And every time he spoke those words, every time you see his mentor, his master, Elijah say, or just have him come along with him. Every time it says that he came. Every time they went. And guess what happened? Elijah did possess that which he was believing for in faith. Can you see how this correlates with the Shunammite woman and her faith? See, the Shunammite woman had no idea that the words that she was speaking were the exact words that Elijah had spoken to his master Elijah, because she wasn't there. She had no idea about those words. But I'll tell you what, Elijah, he recognized those words when he heard them. And he recognized the faith action that was behind those words. And that's why we see that his response, when he heard those words from the Shunammite woman, his response was the same response that he gave when he spoke those words. And it says, recall, it says, they went. What does it say that he did after she said those words? It says that he arose. And she followed her. He followed her. And he followed her back to her son. And that's where we see that Elijah has the power of God move through him. And he restores that gift. He restores the son's life and gives it back to the mother. So the Shunammite woman, she repeats the words of the man of God as she is clinging to the legs, clinging to the feet of the man of God. The same words that Elijah spoke as he was clinging to the power of God, believing in faith for the power of God. And likewise today, you and I cling to the Word of God. We cling to the promises. We cling to all of the promises of the Word of God in faith, regardless of what you see, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what the world says or does. We also cling to those words. We cling to the promise. Let our words match up with her words and with his words. She spoke words that matched the man of God's words. You and I need to speak words today that match the words of Jesus Christ. We need to match those words because our faith, our words have to line up. Our words have to match up with the Word of God because that's what faith is. It's because we believe the promises. Think about this. It's because I believe the promises that I speak the promises. Because I believe it, I speak it. We need to cling to those words. We need to hold steadfast to all those things. Now, let's look really quick. Last thing I'm going to look at. Let's look at one of the three examples of Elijah saying his words that he spoke to Elijah, his master. Look at the first time he says this. This is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, then Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And so they went down to Bethel. What Elijah is saying here, he's saying, as long as Jehovah lives, that's forever. And as long as your soul lives, Elijah, well, guess what? Elijah's soul is still alive today. The soul is eternal. So what Elijah is saying is, I will never let go of you. I will never let go of the promises. This is the response. This is the attitude that we, you and I as believers today, this needs to be our attitude with the promises, with the Word of God and the promises that are yours in Jesus Christ. And look at the words specifically. If you look at the words leave you, in the Hebrew, the words leave you mean this. It means to let loose or to set free. So what Elijah is saying and what the Shunammite woman is saying here is, I will never let loose my hold on the promise. I will never let loose of you. I will never set free my hold upon what I'm believing for. This has to be the mentality of the faith believer. We have to hold on to the promises. You have to hold on to the Word of God, never letting loose, regardless of what your body tells you, regardless of what your bank account tells you, regardless of what life itself says to you. You say, I will never let loose. I will never set free. I will never let go the Word of God. I will believe it in spite of what I see. This is the faith of the Shunammite woman. This is the faith of Elijah. And this is your faith and our faith. We are to cling and hold on to the promises of God regardless of what we see. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your word is true. We thank you and praise you. Thank you and praise you that as we go and leave today, that this word, and as we read 2 Kings chapter 4, as we read it, I know, Holy Spirit, you're going to speak truth to each one of us. As we read those words ourselves, that you will speak to each one of us individually, and you will reveal truths that are important and vital to our individual lives. So our understanding of how to lay hold of in faith all of your promises, just as we see exemplified by the Shunammite woman. So we praise you in advance. We say, thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of praise in all things. We rejoice in you. You be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship.